Thomas Mulcair is probably old enough to remember Peter Blakey, actually, is here on a Mulcair Monday. How are you?
Good to talk to you. And thank you for reminding everybody it is Earth Day. I'm the chairman of the board of Earth Day Canada, so I was very happy to hear you say that. And this year's theme is Earth Day is Leg Day. Leave the car at home. Transportation is 43% of greenhouse gas emissions in Canada.
Well, if you go to the gym, you know most guys skip leg day. Okay. The federal Liberals have set an internal goal of narrowing their polling gap by 5 points come July. I've set my goal of making $1 million by next Monday.
I think both have equal chances, John. Look, the Liberals' budget has been a very tough sell. They had some ministers out on the weekend. I was listening to Minister Valdez, who's in charge of small business, doing her best job of trying to point out that there were some things in there with regard to capital gains on the small business side that would actually be helpful. She was right. But the massive increase in what you have to include in your taxes as a capital gain is the thing that caught the most attention after last week's budget. So Trudeau was trying to be Trudeau, you know, massive new spending, but he doesn't understand that the average Canadian looking at the whole landscape, the horizon of what we've got in terms of public spending, are just saying, hey, we can't continue doing what we've been doing. We've got to change. But Mr. Trudeau wanted to spend his way out of the hole. I don't think it's working. And from my own view and my reading of all of the commentary over the past 5-6 days, John, they're having a hard time. I don't think that there's going to be a sizable change, but if there is any blip on the screen, they'll attribute it to their great budget and things like that. Fine. But I think that Mr. Trudeau is still looking at a timeline that by the time we get to the end of this current session in June, he's going to have a really tough decision to make. And the rumors that were swirling around Dominic LeBlanc's intentions last week didn't do anything to put paid to that.
Meanwhile, speaking of the budget, apparently there is unrest amongst some Liberals. They fear that this budget is unsellable, so it's a gift to Pierre Poilievre.
Pierre Poilievre. That was my immediate reaction. I mean, I was in studio doing some of the French TV that I do for the first shot around the budget as everything started rolling out. And with some colleagues, I just said, you know, they're handing the next election on a silver platter to Poilievre for precisely the reason that we just spoke about. There's no handle on public spending. They actually used a lot of smoke and mirrors and mirages to take some of the spending that had been promised in previous budgets, and budgets under our system, John, are supposed to be things that actually happen that you can rely on. They took a lot of that spending, they pushed it forward so that they could keep that magic maximum $40 billion deficit for this year. But, you know, it's not working. The overall debt of Canada is spiraling out of control. And there are a lot of people just looking at what was promised last week and saying, okay, you're not doing it. You know, you're spending far too much. You've increased the civil service by 40%. Not a lot to show for that. And you've got more spending on the table now. I think that the average Canadian looking at this is saying, okay, this is part of the problem and we know what to do about it.
Meanwhile, the Liberal government again, or the Liberal Party, we should say, turning to influencers to get their message to younger Canadians. There's a number of takes on this. I mean, one would be that a lot of people who don't get the notion of influencers are going to say, oh, there they go, chasing after the kids, using other kids. But my main objection, Thomas Mulcair, would be I don't think that anybody in the Federal Party knows what an influencer is. So they're probably going to, you know, pick out some girl who wears hats on the internet and has 25,000 followers.
Yeah, and the problem, of course, is that young people tend not to vote. You remember the last election, the 21 election, John? Jagmeet Singh's numbers in the GTA were great. I mean, by any fair analysis of the poll after poll after poll results for the NDP, they were going to get a bunch of seats in the GTA. And I was talking to a very senior pollster, Jean-Marc Léger, to name him. And I said, look, the NDP is going to pick up a bunch of new seats in Toronto. And he said, no, they're not. I said, well, how can you say that? Look, it's your numbers. Look at the numbers. And he goes, no. He says, those are young people. They don't vote. And in the event, the NDP got precisely zero seats. So, yes, good on the Liberals for at least trying to get to young people, to interest them in politics, because politicians, no matter what you think of them, are going to be deciding their fate. You know, they're making decisions now that will affect them for the rest of their lives. So they should be involved, but they tend to stay home. When Harper won his majority in 2011, young people, the 18 to 25 crowd, stayed home in droves. Almost two-thirds of them, John, did not bother to vote. So at least they're trying to get them interested. Obviously, they're trying to get them interested in the Liberal Party, which is fair game. That's what politics is about. But I don't think it's a bad idea to at least try to get to them and then wake them up to the fact that decisions are being made about the future of their lives.
Okay, so let's stick with this for a second in terms of young people not voting. Are there technological means, do you think, where we could get them to vote? Can we figure out online voting or, you know, voting through an app?
I think that eventually we will, and I don't mean to beat this thing to death, but all you have to do is think about the discussions in the United States over the Dominion voting machines or something as clunky as the Arrive Can app before you can actually do this. You know, we're talking about foreign influence. Believe it or not, there are countries in the world spend a lot of money and time trying to hack into everything. So before you can do it, you're going to have something as sure as blockchain, as sure as not being able to hack into Bitcoin. And if you get that, yes, I think it's inevitable that you should be able to vote. And why just once every 4 years? You know, vote on important stuff regularly. I think it could come to that. That would be great participatory democracy, but we're not there yet.
And one final item, Dominic LeBlanc, who, if I'm not mistaken, is like Justin Trudeau's best friend. Everybody was saying he's going to run to replace Trudeau. He says, I'm running in the next election under Justin Trudeau's leadership.
Yeah, so this is a story that was written by Lawrence Martin, who you know and I know is one of the most respected journalists in Ottawa, has been there for decades, and I really like him, and he's never been proven wrong on something this serious. And by the way, the next day when he was questioned by our friends over at CTV, he didn't try to deny it. He just said, I'm running for Trudeau, and he's got all my respect, and I'm blah, blah, blah. But he was delivering lines, and Dominic LeBlanc does not usually deliver lines. And then when they asked him about the meeting and whether this had actually taken place, he said, I've already answered that, but of course, he hadn't. So there is something out there. You know, if the people around Dominic LeBlanc, John, had intended to make sure that he's included when people come up with the list, because the list is always Chrystia Freeland, Mark Carney, François-Philippe Champagne. You know, there's a few people whose names make it into the list in every newspaper story on this. Nobody ever talks about Dominic LeBlanc. So if the purpose was to get his name out there, it worked. But I don't think it was a very well-handled thing because it sort of landed, you know, at the absolute worst time. Oh, 2 days after the budget, we're going to say that his closest friend wants to be on the list of people to replace Justin Trudeau. So I think that there could have been better ways of doing this. But Dominic LeBlanc definitely has all the qualifications necessary, fluently bilingual, deep experience in government, and yeah, total loyalist to Trudeau and to the party.
I'm sure he would make a fine leader of the opposition. Thanks a lot.
Take good care. Have a great week, John.
Thomas Mulcair, former leader of the federal NDP, and that was a Mulcair Monday.